What's up, Wichita Windsurge fans? This is the Surgecast. I'm your host. My name is Scotty Gurman, and alongside me, as usual, is none other than the voice of the Wichita Windsurge, Mr. Tim Grubbs. Tim, how you doing?
Doing great.
Woo!
Here we go. Halfway here.
Halfway. We're halfway through this. We didn't win. That's okay.
We didn't win.
That's okay. That's all right. There's a whole other half of the season, and we're good with that, right?
You know what? You know, done this for a while. Yeah. You don't win very often.
Right.
So the fact that we won last year, at least you made it to the playoffs, right, and won championship. And we were in first place last year, 93% of the season. And this year, the way the season started at 0-5, and you're like, yeah, oh boy. And then you turn it around, and we ended up in first place 90% of the first half. But at the end, pitching, roster moves.
Yeah.
I mean, pitching injuries, roster moves just catch up to you. So Tulsa wins the half. San Antonio wins the South. The second half starts Tuesday, mm-hmm, in Springfield as we wrap up. And then, you know, whoever wins the second half in the North would play Tulsa.
There you go.
So if for some reason, and this is the other thing, if Tulsa wins the second half as well, it's the team with the best overall record.
Okay.
So the fact that we're in second place, you know, obviously means as long as we're in second place in the second half, we would still secure a playoff
right
spot.
Right.
Obviously, you know, I'm just giving the details.
Yeah, there's a lot of season left.
We haven't had split seasons. I mean, obviously, Wichita hasn't had split seasons in a long time, so I just kind of wanted to touch that out there.
Yeah.
We would, the winner of the first half, it's a best of three, best of three. So the North divisional round is best of three. The second half champion is home for game one. The first half, this is why you want to win the first half, is you get home for game two and three.
You get home field advantage.
You get home field advantage, right, if that's the case. So that's basically how it works. And then I don't even know how the championship round, who gets home field advantage, because obviously I didn't look into that, because if both first half champions advance, you know what I mean? There's got to be a four. It probably is an alternating thing.
Yeah.
Where some years the North hosts, some years the South. I would imagine it's a flip of the coin.
Do you think it maybe have anything to do with the record, maybe?
I don't know, because they usually try to determine that before.
Okay.
So that you know before.
I gotcha.
That you can start selling tickets. You know you're home on these certain dates.
Right.
So,
well, we've got a lot of season.
We got a lot of time to figure that out.
Yeah. We still got a lot of games to be played. We're going to be just fine. I'm having fun, man.
And that's what it's all about.
Oh, man.
Is you want to see these guys develop, and you want to get in, and it's great to see a guy like Spencer Steer go to AAA and have a lot of success.
Yeah.
Not just a little bit of success. Michael Hellman is having success.
Right.
And that's when you realize, you know, you're doing your job and we're graduating guys to the next levels.
Yeah. And you touched on it just a little bit. I mean, you lose a guy like Spencer Steer, and he was on fire whenever he was here. Yeah. That definitely can change the trajectory of a season whenever you get down to it.
You know, I mean, statistically, he was having a great year, but it's the clutch,
mm-hmm,
you know, and I know it's you can't put that in a scouting report,
yep,
but you know, if a guy goes 1-for-3 in a game, it's that one,
it's the one.
You don't want to go that, you don't want that hit to be the meaningless single in the third. It doesn't mean anything.
And, right.
You know, it's the hit when there's two runners on and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, and I felt like Steer, I feel like there was a few players like that, and we're kind of missing the clutch hit right now. Matt Cantorino went down with an injury. We've had some other, you know, injuries with the pitching, but I think basically we just need to get some hitting and, you know, we'll be back on track. We're still pitching pretty well.
Yeah. I mean, and again, like, there's a lot of season left, but another cool thing is apparently the two twin single A teams have won in the first half, which is cool.
Good news for us.
Yeah.
Because what does that mean to us? You know, the team's below us.
Right.
Well, what does that mean? Those guys are coming our way.
Yeah, they're getting ready to come on up.
Yeah, Fort Myers won the first half by like 9 games. They clinched like 10 days ago. They just cleaned up the Florida State League. Cedar Rapids, which I reference quite a bit. I don't reference Fort Myers very often because we very rarely get a player from Fort Myers, because mm-hmm, the graduation is usually Fort Myers to Cedar Rapids, Cedar Rapids to Wichita,
okay,
Wichita to St. Paul. But so the guys right below us, like, for example, Sawyer Gibson Long, a pitcher we just got him from Cedar Rapids.
There you go.
And he's pitched very well for us since coming to us. Anthony Prado just came to us from Cedar Rapids. So we're starting to get the Cedar Rapids guys coming. And, you know, it's good to know that they are a winning program there.
Mm-hmm.
That means we're getting winning guys here. And hopefully, obviously, there is some adjustment time.
Right.
You know, there's a jump of every level. There's a reason why they do this. And guys are better. you know, at every level. Oh, yeah. You know, whether it's low A, high A, double A, triple A. So sometimes it takes guys to get acclimated, but so far so good for the guys that we've gotten from the lower levels.
Well, sir, and I guess I wanted to ask sorry if this is a dumb question, but at the same time, with single A baseball, I always assumed that there was only one team for an organization. Does that make sense? But apparently we have two.
We have, everybody has two.
Okay.
Prior to 2020, We've spoke about this before, where they eliminated 42 teams.
Oh yeah,
everybody had three.
Oh,
there was also a level called rookie, which some people referred to as single A. It was like almost like
a three tier
mm-hmm. single A. There was rookie ball. Then they refer to it as low A, and then high A, and then you'd get to double A and triple A. So
I got you.
You know, and it's just, and the average age is a little bit different at low A as opposed to high A. And go from there. And it's just, you don't necessarily have to do every level. It's not like when we went to school and you have to go from first grade to second grade, third grade to fourth grade. But I will say this, a very high percentage does all of them.
Gotcha.
I mean, there are a few that just jump levels to go do things, but it does happen from time to time.
Right. Well, we got some hot players over the last couple of weeks. I wanted to touch on Matt Wallner.
Crushing it.
Dude.
Second in the league in homers, second in the league in RBI, second in the league in walks. And that's, you don't ever usually say second in the league in RBI, second in the league in homers, second in the league in walks. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that just, part of that is they're pitching around him a lot, and he is laying off that bait that they're throwing out there for him to chase. He's done great. It's really unique. He's been the number three or four hitter for most of the season. Since we've started struggling offensively, Ramon put him in the leadoff spot to give him more at-bats because of that ability to walk and because of his, you know, hey, when you don't have as strong as a lineup as you might have had 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. you know, we want another at-bat for him. And he's provided for us. Unfortunately, we don't have the protection around him all the time.
Yeah.
But I think in time, you know, we'll get things clicking again. But
he
has certainly done his part. And I hopefully he's here for a while for our sakes.
Sure.
But there has to be a spot for him at AAA or the big leagues for them to move him up. He did struggle a bit at the beginning of the year, but I think that shows that he wasn't quite ready, but yet he made the necessary adjustments, and he's done great. You know, and that's what I really like when someone fails at the beginning, and yet he worked hard, made adjustments, and now he's crushing it.
He shows resilience.
Yeah.
And that's really important. I guess the other question I was going to ask is, we also have had guys that have been called up and then have also come back.
Right.
What is your, like, philosophy as far as whenever that happens? Do you think it can potentially just destroy a player, or do you think it can potentially make them even better?
It can be both.
Yeah.
Baseball, we always talk about, it's a mental game. What do they say? Like Yogi Berra said, it's 110% mental, 10% physical.
Yeah.
It was one of those math equations. You're like, what?
What?
It doesn't make any sense. But no, I think it does. And I think we do see that from time to time. And that's the reason why, if you notice, for example, Cole Sturgeon mm-hmm. is a veteran player on this Win Surge team, was on our opening day club, went to AAA at the end of April, was up there for about a month, and then came back because there wasn't room for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wouldn't say there wasn't room, but they wanted to play the prospects. You wouldn't do that to a young kid.
Right.
Austin Martin, Matt Wallner, Spencer Steer, Michael Hillman. When you call those guys up, you want to make sure you've got a spot for them. You don't want to kick them in the teeth or knock them in the head when they're 23 or 24 and let them, you know, zap themselves because of something like that.
Yeah.
A guy in his later 20s, a guy that's already been to AAA, that's been back and forth, he knows that, you know, if he goes up, he comes back here and does his job, that doesn't mean he can't get back to the Twins.
Right.
It doesn't mean he can't get back to St. Paul. It just means that, hey, we you know, this is your role, and you've done this before, and you're strong-willed. And he's come back and has done a nice job for us.
Yeah, and we got another hot player I wanted to briefly touch on, Louis Varland.
Varland's pitched great. Woo. You know, he was last year's Minnesota Twins Minor League Pitcher of the Year. He's picked up right where he left off. Obviously, you and I talked about him earlier on the pod when he had his clash with his older brother.
Yep.
We up until the other day, we had won 9 consecutive Louis Varland starts. He was not the winner, But we were the winner. And what does that mean? Is that means you're doing your job.
Right.
Even though when you leave the ball game in a 2-2 game in the sixth, you know, you kept us in the game, and then the rest of the team did the rest of the way. But he's been quality starts out there and is doing a really nice job of anchoring that staff.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, when he starts, there's a special vibe in the dugout and in the press box that you think, hey, we got a really good chance to win this ballgame.
But that's what it's about. I mean, I know you really, we really want the actual team to continue to win and to go to the playoffs and stuff like that. But the realistic side of it is that you're sitting there rooting for these players. You're getting to see these guys in the infancy of their career that they're getting ready to have. And that's what's special, because you really don't know how great some of these guys are have the potential of becoming.
You really have no idea.
Right.
You know, we can all be amateur scouts. Mm-hmm. Even the scouts, you know, we have a lot of professional major league scouts in the building every night. Even them, it's a guess.
Yeah.
You know, some of these guys, you know, some guys are a 280 hitter at single A.
Mm-hmm.
And then they become a 279 hitter at double A. And they go to triple A and they're a 278 or 279 hitter. And sometimes they get to the big leagues and they're still 200, 280 hitter. And you're like, he just never, you know, he's just so steady Eddie or, you know, and sometimes it's, you know, they're so young that it sometimes they do just figure it out.
And muscle development. I mean, some of these guys, you got to realize some of these guys are 18, 19, 20 years old.
Right. Some of them are very young. Now, Steven Cruz, you know, he's one of those guys you scratch your head at. He throws 100 miles an hour. He's in our bullpen. He's got an ERA of 9. And there's games he goes out there and strikes out the side and you're like, wow. And there's been a game out there where he came in and walked a bunch of guys and gave up 7 runs.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, wow, in the other direction.
Right.
And, you know, and I hate to call him out, but I think that's a guy that when you see his 9 ERA, when he comes in out of the bullpen, and you're like, oh boy, we're in trouble. But that's a guy keep your eye on.
Yeah.
Because I think he's a major leaguer. You know, and you look at the stat sheet, and there's probably a guy that I see with an ERA of 3, and I look at him and be like, probably not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean? And it's like, well, how? And that's the reason why it's all beyond stats.
Yeah.
You know, you can't just look at the piece of paper. The Twins send people here. They watch video. They have, you know, talent evaluators look at it. If that didn't matter, they would just say, all right, who's got the best, who has the most wins in double A, call him up. Who has the best ERA, call him up, or on the other side. But you watch him and he's got explosive stuff. He just needs to be more consistent.
That exactly. You got a guy that can harness 100 mile an hour fastball. Yeah. It's hard to control.
It's
what it
he's
is.
He's tall. He's wiry. You know, I mean, these short, compact guys, the arm movement is not as much.
Yeah.
There's a lot more mechanics to a guy that's like 6'4".
Right.
You know what I mean? He's just got it going on. He pitched in the game the other day, and the speedometer, and I'm just broadcasting the game, and I know what he's going to do. All of a sudden, you heard, ooh. There was a good crowd. It was 4,500, 5,000 people in the building, and all that, you heard the moans because they saw triple figure. Like, I think fans' eyes can notice it, and they all glance up at the board, and they all kind of did it at once, and they're like, oh. And then the next one was 99, and you could just hear it. And there's some anticipation and some excitement about that.
But we're also coming off of a couple promotional games. We had the Defenders of the Diamond. I thought that was pretty cool. New jerseys and stuff like that.
Yeah, the Marvel stuff.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, it adds another. The one really cool thing about that, the ball club wore Defenders. We got a Black Panther one coming up.
Oh, cool.
We had Avengers that we wore the other day.
Yeah.
And you know, what was really cool to me is sitting in the booth, looking down and seeing the fans' participation. Like, that's how many fans showed up wearing a Spider-Man shirt?
Oh, that's cool.
You know, it's like they knew. And then obviously the sound in the ballpark, we played a lot of those sound effects and played some of the music. Players wore it. It's also interesting, you know, we had some TikToks and some social media stuff where our crew videoed, what's your favorite Marvel movie? And some people would say movies that are not Marvel movies.
That's okay.
But some people would say, you know, and you realize these guys are more than athletes, and some of them are really into it.
Yeah.
And then some of them are just casually into it. It's just like anything.
Yeah.
And then some guys are like, you know, yeah, whatever. I mean, I like that stuff. But
yeah.
No, and the comic book stuff, obviously, there's a huge, we have Star Wars coming up later this season. And we'd always know there's a huge crowd of that.
Oh, yeah.
And those jerseys, I actually saw them the other day.
Are they pretty cool?
I saw the design. I haven't actually seen the physical. I don't even know if they're here, but they're really cool.
Awesome. That's more my
speed. As a casual Star Wars person,
yeah,
I can say that. The fact that I'm saying they're really cool,
okay,
and I'm really not logged into that. Sure. I'm not a sci-fi guy, so that there's something there.
Oh man, that's gonna be awesome. We did get a message from a listener that I wanted to touch on from Lee Bellinger. He wanted us to briefly talk about the KC-46 Nozar. Did you see that?
Yes. I was gonna go, but we, you know, there were some things going on, yeah, and I didn't get to go. But Lee, who's one of our top season ticket holders, he's there virtually every night, and you know, he works at McConnell. And they were, you know, the Wind Surge logo, for those people that aren't aware, if you take a look at the primary logo, the, you know, there is a air, uh-huh, you know, air capital of the world type dealings with it. They were able to put that primary logo nose art on a KC-46, which I didn't realize was such a big deal, but it was very, when you deal, yeah, with the government, it's always diplomatic.
Yeah, it's kind of
a lot of paperwork,
deal.
And Lee was able to get it done. We had a bunch of our players go out there. I can tell you right now, firsthand, the players were just, one, were so ecstatic about being invited to go visit that. And they got to do a few things on the base. Uh-huh. They got a little tour. They got to put on some aircraft suits.
Nice.
And I saw the pictures, and you know, the guys love doing stuff, get involved in the community. But this was one where there were other guys in the clubhouse super jealous, uh-huh, when the photographs came out that you got to do that.
Oh,
you,
yeah,
got to do that. So we'll have no problem whenever Lee asks in the future about something to do on the Air Force Base.
Yeah.
But it's up there temporarily. And it's really cool. And
yeah.
I love that we embrace, you know, what's going on down there.
Absolutely.
And obviously, it's part of the logo. It's part of the community. It's part of the city.
Yeah.
You know, we can do whatever we can.
And we did have a pretty funny thing happen. A good friend of mine, at least, was part of the grounds crew pulling a tarp and ended up getting tumbled a little bit underneath, yeah, the tarp.
I guess maybe something that a lot of listeners know, or a lot of fans that go to the game. So when you see a tarp pull, the grounds crew is out there, but the grounds crew is really like four or five people total,
right,
at a game. That's not enough people to get it done.
No.
So they fill in the gaps with the front office people, salesmen,
uh-huh,
ticket office people. I've done it before.
Uh-huh.
I was on the air, so I didn't do it that time. So there's a lot of people, and they all know how to do it. And the thing is, when we pull tarp in the afternoon, you don't wait for the downpour.
Right.
You find out a couple minutes before. That's why we have, you know,
cellular phones
and cellular devices. And, and you put it out there at your leisure. You don't have to sprint and fall and all that sort of stuff. During the game, the umpires want to try to get as many outs as they can. We were closing in on the fifth inning.
Mm-hmm.
We were four outs away from it being an official game, which would have meant if we would have pulled the tarp and not resumed, we would not have had to pick it up.
Right.
So they try to push the issue there.
Mm-hmm.
They try to get it to where it's an official game. Well, the rain was just dumping. So then, yeah, at that point, the crew chief says, go. He indicates for the tarp crew to bring it out. Nick Nelson and the crew all were pulling the tarp. He slipped and fell. The crowd laughed. And we all know when you slip and fall, you're probably not completely all there, and there's a chance it could happen again, you know, because you haven't really got your bearings straight, and he went down again, and the place erupted.
Oh, that's good stuff.
Happens 10 years ago. We all laugh about it internally.
Yes.
It happens now. It goes viral.
That's exactly right.
Including my call of him. And I felt bad for calling him out on the air. He actually embraced it. He loved it. You know, because I said to him, I was like, hey, I didn't really mean to say your name. And he goes, oh, that's what made it. But and that's why I don't mind saying it again. But no,
he's such a good kid too.
We've all done that. We've all, you know, everybody that works in baseball pulls tarp. There's a camaraderie about that. So it is pretty special.
All right. Well, moving on, before we end up wrapping up this brief episode, I did want to talk about, there was actually the plans for the area right around Riverfront that were released over the last couple of days. That was cool. That was really neat. You can see all of the new buildings that's going to be coming right around the river. It's going to be awesome.
It's coming.
Yeah.
We've always talked about it. Obviously, Lou Schweckheimer talked about it, you know, at the groundbreaking and talked about it from the beginning. But, you know, now that the ballpark is here and COVID probably and the pandemic and the supply chain probably slowed down the process of some of that. But this is a work in progress. I mean, when you go to the community, when you go to the ballpark area years from now, it's not going to be recognizable to what you see now. It already is not recognizable.
Yeah.
With the addition of Sycamore and, you know, the Hutton office building and the Home 2 and Mocha's. I mean, there's already been a lot of development, but now there's an actual hotel that's going to be just beyond the outfield.
Yeah.
And it's not just a hotel. Like, I've always been under the impression it was just going to be a Marriott Courtyard or something.
Yeah.
But it's a really cool looking hotel that will have a rooftop restaurant and bar and all that sort of stuff. So there's some aspects to that to being local that I think we're all going to enjoy.
Yeah, it really does. It looks really cool. I know on the WinSurge Facebook page, they actually showed pictures and stuff like that of it. So if you haven't had a chance to look and see what's coming, it is really, really cool.
And that's just the first. That's the first domino of a few things coming. So, you know, like I said, there's a bunch of stuff coming and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, and right now, moving on to the rest, what we got going on, at least until next episode, we've got you're on the road. You're in Springfield probably when this airs, and then we are back at Riverfront for two weeks
in a row. So we'll have to try to do two pods in that time if we can.
Yeah, we're gonna have to. We're gonna figure something out. But we're getting Amarillo, the Saw Poodles come back, and then we play the Arkansas Travelers again. So we've got a lot of stuff coming at least at Riverfront Stadium. So if you haven't yet, make it a priority to go out and see all these young kids that are getting ready to be. That some of them could potentially be stars. Right. A lot of them. So,
you know, we mentioned it. I mentioned it almost every time. You know, we've had like 8 guys go to the big leagues from the WinSurge.
Right.
And we're at 36, I think, is the number of guys that have played on that field since it opened May 11th of last year.
Yeah.
Just appreciation of the other guys. Obviously, I know Scotty here is a Cardinal fan. Nolan Gorman played there last year. Brendan Donovan played there last year. Those are the guys that have powered the Cardinals to first place in the NL Central. 100%. So they're not just guys coming off the bench. They're major parts to a team that is having success. As much as I hate to say that because I'm not a Cardinal fan. I know. But
it's okay.
I do appreciate when you see a guy play here and then you see him at the big leagues and you're like, Brendan Donovan was just a guy.
Yeah.
He was just a pretty good player at the AA level, and now he's a pretty good player at the big league level. Yeah. And you're like, you know what? Sometimes it does just transfer.
That's exactly. And you do. And, I mean, that guy has actually got game-winning hits under his belt already in the majors.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'll have SportsCenter on, and I'll be like, hey, there he is, game-winning hit. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So this is what it's all about. This is minor league baseball. This is why you go. This is you want to see these guys before they become crazy. Yeah,
absolutely.
But anyways, guys, do us a favor. Check out winsurge.milbstore.com. That is going to be where you go to get all of your WinSurge Turbo Tubs and Tumba Vacas merchandise. I want to say thank you again to Tim. I appreciate you coming on the show and being as jovial as you always are.
I always try to be. So, you know, we'll be together a lot here in the next couple of weeks.
That's
so
true.
I'm looking forward to the way the schedule lines up with the 4th of July being at home, which will be our first ever. And then we'll all get together and, you know, for a 2-week homestand.
Yeah. Well, WinSurge fans, thank you guys so much. Do us a favor, share the podcast. Let everybody know that it's going on. We sincerely do appreciate that. Get yourself out to Riverfront Stadium, see the WinSurge, and as always, surge up!